Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Inside the Football Business, where we go inside the game and talk about the business of the game of football with Neil Stratton and Justin Van Fulpen. As we get down to the end of the regular season, we got one more game here in the NFL. College football is in full thrust with its bowl games. We've got a lot of head coaching moves on the, both the college and the pro side, as well as GMs, agent signings, you know, players. A lot of news, a lot of information that are is talking about the game of football today. The first wave of NFL Combine invites have gone out for an email to the players. If a player's season is done, whether their bowl game or the playoffs, if their D2 or 1AA is complete, then they have been invited in the first round of the NFL Combine. They will get an email invite today, and that'll kind of then first wave, and then we'll have the underclassmen that declare, they'll get the invites, and then the second wave that makes up to about 330 players, that will be in Indy in about less than 2 months from now. So, Neil, we've got a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of stuff to cover. I know the big breaking news yesterday was the Eagles had fired head coach and GM Chip Kelly. You know, what's your thoughts about, you know, Chip Kelly? I know there's a lot of discussions of, hey, was he willing to give up the personnel side, you know, and kind of where do they go now as far as GM and head coach? I mean, what are you hearing? What do you think about everything that's going on there in Philly?
Well, it's an interesting situation, and I think it obviously, I think Chip Kelly was an experiment to some degree, and it was an experiment that kind of started off with rousing success 3 years ago, his first season, but progressively got a little bit worse, and I think maybe Kelly was in over his head a bit with having full control over personnel. You know, he brought in essentially his number two guy was a guy who had only been in the league as long as he had. So they were looking at things with a limited amount of experience. As Ed Manowitz, I'm referring to there, brought him in from Alabama, where he was director of player personnel. And so they had a limited, I guess, amount of experience to draw on. And so it made it kind of a tough situation when they wanted to institute Kelly's offense from Oregon and make a number of decisions that were just, I guess, related to college rather than in the pros. I don't think the Eagles GM is in-house. My impression from speaking to people is that Tom Donahoe, who has been invited to essentially run the team's personnel side while they're in limbo and while they're conducting their search, is, you know, a little older and probably not looking for the GM job, although he's very well, highly regarded and very well liked as well. I don't know what they're, you know, what the plan is as far as, you know, how the search will be conducted, but I think that, you know, we're going to start hearing names, I guess, very soon, because obviously we've got an intense 4 months ahead of us before the draft. So I think things are a little unstable there, although it's not entirely shocking that Kelly and Manowitz were let go. I think there's one thing that's kind of interesting about it, because obviously as the reports have come out, this was really all about personnel control. My impression, it seemed, you know, from reading everything, is that Lurie wasn't as unhappy with Kelly's coaching ability as he was with the direction of the team and the talent level, and obviously the amount of money that was spent on running backs last year and a number of other issues. But obviously Lurie didn't feel like a guy that could run the personnel side was in the building. And so that's, you know, that search will be conducted, and I guess we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, things I'm hearing is that, you know, Howie Roseman will go, you know, have some still involvement in that search, and, you know, he will, you know, be kind of maybe move over to the same type of role he had there for, you know, before Chip Kelly had kind of had that power struggle and kind of pushed him to the other side of the building, you know, there. More and Andy Reid, I think the hot name, you know, as far as for head coaching that I've heard, you know, here in the last, you know, 12 hours has been Sean McDermott, the defensive coordinator with the Carolina Panthers. Obviously, mm-hmm. It makes sense. He was there, you know, in Philadelphia, you know, as a defensive coordinator, you know, a few years ago before taking that position with the Carolina Panthers. So he's kind of that hot coordinator, obviously, with the success the Panthers have had on defense the last couple of years, especially this year, you know, being in 14-1 and being the number one seed there in the NFC. So I could see him, you know, heading back there and figuring out what they're going to do GM-wise. So, yeah, it'll be interesting there in Philadelphia. Obviously, you know, Andy Reid was there for so long. Jeffrey Lurie's been a guy who's been patient but wasn't patient there with Chip Kelly. Obviously, I think the running back situation with the DeMarco Murray, you know, Ryan Matthews he brought in there, and you spend a ton of money on DeMarco Murray, and then DeMarco Murray doesn't have the role, the offense isn't kind of tailored to what he was doing. He obviously, a couple of weeks ago, was well reported, had a meeting there on the plane with Jeffrey Lurie and kind of gave his input on, hey, the players' feelings of Chip Kelly there, and I think that kind of sealed his fate, you know, when kind of the star player who you've spent a ton of money and a ton of money of Jeff Leary's money there to bring in and then wasn't happy and you weren't using him, you know, at all, you know, I think that was Chip Kelly's downfall there.
Yeah, I think that's true. You know, there are a couple interesting aspects to this in that the previous GM is still in the building. You don't see that very often. You allude to Howie Roseman. Will he come back? Will he maintain his old position? You know, I mean, I guess to some degree, he's kind of been vindicated, but are you ready to hand him the personnel again? You know, obviously you wouldn't, if Lurie were pleased with Roseman's direction there, then Chip Kelly probably never happens. The other question is, you know, who do you, when you bring someone in, are you happy with the quarterback? Are you happy with DeMarco Murray? Are you happy? I mean, there's so many directions that offense can go now. There's not an obvious fit for whoever comes in to kind of direct things and take them in a direction. So, boy, whoever takes that job has kind of got a little bit of a mess and you know, a lot of big salaries to move around and a lot of pieces that probably don't fit together. So it's not, you know, I think there's still room for optimism. I mean, you still have a lot of talent in the building, but it's going to be a little difficult to, you know, make it into a puzzle that makes sense. So they've got a tough job ahead of them in Philadelphia, really trying to get everything sorted out. So we'll see what direction everything takes.
Yeah, and one thing there on the quarterback, you know, thing, I think they've got an opening, you know, standpoint. Sam Bradford, this is the end of his contract, his rookie contract. He didn't sign that extension that was offered to him. You know, I think Leary's probably happy with, you know, that, you know. So they'll be able
sure.
to, you know, kind of figure out what they're going to do with the quarterback situation. You know, there. So, it, you know, it would be, you know, be interesting there. But, you know, Philadelphia is always a rabid, you know, sports town, obviously, with the Phillies and the 76ers not, you know, not performing well. And now the Eagles, you know, kind of taking a couple steps backwards. You know, you hope that they can kind of get that thing turned around. So, GMs,
certainly.
You know, it's, I think we'll hear a lot more as far as Black Monday. You know, we saw the Lions have, you know, cleared house, you know, with their GMs, you know, and president there earlier in the season. We've seen, you know, the Miami Dolphins fired their head coach. The Tennessee Titans fired their head coach kind of mid-season there. And I think we'll get a couple more openings here next Monday. But I know you got some, you know, news in regards to the Texans. You know, kind of what are you hearing there? I mean, they're kind of in the lead for the AFC South. Looks like they're going to go ahead and win that, depending on all the permutations that need to happen for the Colts. You know, it looks like they're going to be, you know, in the playoffs, but it looks like they're going to do some kind of rearranging their personnel front office there.
I think there's a great chance that the team's general manager, Rick Smith, is bumped upstairs to and made the team president, and that the team will elevate Brian Gain into that role from in-house. They'll move him up. Gain's very highly respected, and I've talked to a few people who have been expecting this move for a while. Although the team is kind of going to win their division by default to some degree, the coaching staff's done a great job, but I think there's a perception that the talent level isn't where it needs to be. They've got some good young players in key places, obviously J.J. Watt, Hopkins, a number of others, but the quarterback situation has been a real thorn in the team's side all year. and there are a couple other places where, you know, the team probably feels like it'd be managed a little better, and players could be evaluated a little better on the scouting side. So I think it's going to be at some point we'll see that happen. I think Gain will ascend to the GM role. I've heard rumors that he's been looked at in Detroit and other places, and I think it's a situation where they want to hold on to the hot guy and not let him get out outside the building, and so that's probably the direction they'll go. And I think that move, I don't know, is probably pending shortly after the season, at least based on what I've heard. Rick Smith is highly regarded by the McNair family that owns the team. I think it's been well reported that I think he's the godson of Bob McNair's grandson, and so there's a lot of good feelings there. And I think Rick Smith has made some good moves while he's been there, but overall, I think that the team's talent just dictates that there probably needs to be a change made. So that's something I expect to be coming with the Texans probably after Black Monday.
And does Brian Gaines then have full control of the personnel, or is it kind of a shared, you know, role there? Obviously, we saw Hard Knocks and Rick Smith and kind of Bill Bradley there were kind of, you know, joined at the hip and kind of that shared role there. I mean, how does that change any of the dynamics there in that building?
I don't think there'll be any argument that O'Brien's looking for personnel control. You know, he's not trying to make a Chip Kelly move there. So I think that Gain probably runs the show from the talent side. I'm not a big fan of these coaches that come in and have full control. There are very few that can really handle it. I mean, you can kind of go down the line of big head coaches that wanted to move in and be able to run the show, and very few successes. And even Bill Parcells, I think you could argue, has never been a success when he made all the picks and made all the moves on the field. So I think if Gain comes in, he has pretty close to full control. I think that he's got a lot of talent on his scouting staff, and I think there are a lot of good things can happen if they kind of just give him the chance to make the moves that are necessary in free agency and in the draft. And I think if Bill O'Brien just coaches the players on the field, then they could have a winning mix for quite a while. So I don't expect there to be, again, the situation where the head coach comes in and makes a lot of the moves. I think Gain will pretty much have the hammer.
Gotcha. Yeah, and kind of staying with that head coach GM thing. I mean, obviously there's been a mess there in Cleveland with Johnny Manziel. Another thing that surfaced this week, kind of that he's had to kind of answer there with Mike Pettine, Ray Farmer. You know, there's been some reports that maybe Ray Farmer's gone and Mike Pettine stays, you know, vice versa. You know, there's been a lot of, you know, kind of discourse of what's going to happen and where the direction of the Cleveland Browns, you know, are going. You know, we've talked about this, you know, on previous shows. Anything that you're hearing there with what Cleveland's going to do, GM, head coach, kind of per se?
I think right now, and there's a you alluded to it, Justin. I think there's still a lot of questions, and there may be questions even within the team's brass. But I think right now, I would say it's much better than 50-50 that Ray Farmer is gone, and probably around 50-50 that Mike Pettine is gone too. I wouldn't have said that a few days ago, but I think there may be some energy moving in the direction of Pettine that it's not his fault that the team has collapsed and that they haven't made any progress. The thing that's kind of interesting about the direction of the Browns is that they brought in such a seasoned veteran scouting staff. A lot of guys have been doing this for a long time and have had success with a lot of teams. But Ray Farmer is kind of learning on the job and is his first time as a GM. And so there have been some mistakes made. You can look at Justin Gilbert. You can look at Johnny Manziel. There have been some limited successes, but overall, I think there's been a lot of money spent on draft picks that didn't really work out the way they wanted to. There was the texting from the, from the coach's box kind of thing where there was a suspension. It's been a number of issues, and I think it's probably a degree also a situation where Jimmy Haslam has kind of run a circus over there and made a number of mistakes, and I think maybe he's looking for a fall guy. Again, I'm not necessarily defending Ray Farmer, but at the same time, I think there's got to be a certain amount of learning curve, and you've got to give someone a little bit of room to grow. running an NFL franchise is not an easy thing to do, and you have to expect there to be a few mistakes along the way. And what's more, I think it's been pretty well chronicled that Manziel was really Haslam's pick. I mean, I think that the scouts in the building wanted Teddy Bridgewater, and they were overruled. And I think, you know, based on 2 years, 3 years, whatever it's been since that draft, I think it's been pretty well documented that Bridgewater is kind of a young quarterback who's on the rise, and Manziel's got talent, but he's a real mess off the field and pretty undisciplined, and the team has really had a struggle to kind of keep him moving in the right direction. There's been a number of team embarrassments there. So I expect that Farmer's gone, and if he is, one good possibility is Elliot Wolf with the Packers, who's kind of a rising star. I'm hearing his name associated with a lot of different jobs. He's a possibility. You may not see a veteran come in if they keep Petten. You may not see someone who's got GM experience, because someone like that probably would want to hire his own head coach. So I think maybe those pieces are still being – they're still kind of in motion, and they're still trying to decide if they want to bring someone in, you know, with a big name to kind of run things, or if they want to kind of keep things more or less the way they're going in that direction and just bring someone in maybe that he's willing to work with what he's got and at least give Petten one more year.
Yeah, and kind of, you know, with the head coach, GM, you know, different issues there. I mean, you know, Detroit, as we mentioned earlier, they've had fired Martin Mayhew and Tom LaWand there earlier. They have hired a new president. They're kind of have a GM search there. You know, they've hired outside consultants. You know, Martha Ford, who's kind of run the show now since her husband had passed away. What I'm hearing is that Jim Caldwell, kind of at the second half of the season, you know, is kind of been able to kind of save his job. You know, sure. And I think that might be an issue with kind of if a new GM comes in or who the new GM is. You know, hey, does he want to go ahead and hire his own guy? You know, so does that indicate what kind of GM they're going to go after? Is it someone like an Elliot Wolf who you mentioned before with, you know, with the Cleveland, which maybe is not a veteran, you know, a ton of experience GM, and so that therefore Jim Caldwell does have the ability to stay on for another season there in Detroit?
Well, I think you're right. The name that I'm hearing is Wolf headed to Detroit, and time will tell if that's the case or not. But, you know, Caldwell's the wild card. I mean, as we kind of move forward into the 21st century way of thinking, usually you don't bring in a new GM unless you're making a change at the head coach job as well, and you kind of give him that complete control. If an Elliot Wolf is brought in, again, a guy who would be a first-time GM, he's probably not going to come in and want to, you know, make sweeping changes, or at least be comfortable not being able to make sweeping changes. So he could be a fit there. He's highly regarded. You know, at the same time, I've also heard speculation that Wolf doesn't want to leave Green Bay because he's kind of the heir apparent whenever Ted Thompson retires. I don't see Ted Thompson retiring anytime soon. I mean, I think, you know, he's one of the better GMs in the game. He's been able to keep the talent level very high for the Packers. And I guess the question is, how long does Elliot Wolf want to wait? Does he like another team situation? You know, I mean, he's going to have options, I think, especially after this week, coming weekend. The question is, where does he go? What does he do? You know, what does he look at? And, you know, what's the right situation for him? So I guess that'll be something that's kind of interesting to watch.
Yeah, and, you know, Ted Thompson is 62 right now. You know, has been a GM for a number of years there. I think Ted's a guy who you'll see, especially when I was part of the Texas First Nation, he was one of the GMs who was always, you know, there, you know, wherever we were at, whether it was Allen, whether it was San Antonio, El Paso, you know, was always one of the GMs you could count on, and being at all those All-Star games and being really a hands-on type of guy. So, you know, maybe he does it for another, you know, 5 years, you know, and like you said, you know, does Elliot Wolf want to stick around? Obviously, his dad was Ron Wolf, who had a lot of success there with the Packers, so it was kind of been, you know, been a family kind of guy there, you know, with Green Bay. So it'll be interesting, you know, kind of what happens with him. You know, he's been kind of moved up the ranks there, you know, in Green Bay, and does he want to go ahead and, you know, take a shot at, you know, running a team or being, you know, the personnel, head personnel guy when it's all said and done there?
Yeah, you know, you made a great point on Ted Thompson. There are a lot of young GMs that don't work as hard as Ted Thompson. I mean, it seems like no matter how small the All-Star game, no matter how it's still trying to get established, and I'm certainly not trying to say Texas Bay First Nation was a small game, it was a great game. But there have been so many first-year games and startup games that have kind of started and failed. Ted Thompson goes to all of them, and he's always there. And he seems to value evaluating the smaller school players and the lesser prospects as much as he does the top guys that they bring in. And that's not, I don't think, something that you do if you're nearing retirement age. So I guess the question is, how long does Elliott Wolf want to hang around and wait? And does he feel like another team will give him the opportunity to excel that he might get if he were to stick around? I think that'll be one of the interesting subplots of the next couple of weeks, because he's going to have opportunities. There may be opportunities. I mean, there may be teams that really come after him aggressively and really try to bring him in. What does he do? And, you know, again, time will tell, but it'll be something that's really fun to watch. And I mean, he's definitely a rising star and a guy that's highly regarded, not just because he's Ron Wolf's son, but because he's won a lot of fans in his own right.
Yeah, and, you know, as far as we've got Black Monday coming, you know, obviously the Dolphins are in the market for a new head coach. Now the Eagles, you know, as well as the Tennessee Titans, depending on what they're going to do. I think we could see some moves there head coaching-wise with the Cleveland Browns. The Indianapolis Colts, you know, could be, you know, making some changes there. You know, maybe some outside rumors as San Diego. Maybe Mike McCoy doesn't survive this type of season, and they're pretending move to, you know, Los Angeles there. But, you know, I think besides those kind of, you know, those teams, you know, everybody else is kind of, from what I'm hearing, kind of going to stay status quo. I think Detroit ended up staying, you know, status quo, you know, there. So I think we'll have, you know, kind of few, you know, maybe, like I said, maybe Cleveland, maybe the Colts, maybe San Diego as, you know, possible, you know, scenarios, you know, to watch here, you know, coming up here on Monday in regards to coaching, you know, gets fired, because some of the teams that are down, like the Baltimore's, you know, are teams who normally aren't down, and then they'll probably stick with their, with obviously Hardball will stay there. You know, the Rams have said, you know, Jeff Fisher is coming back. The 49ers, you know, they're going to give another year there. You know, so I think we'll have maybe a couple of moves, but not as many. And also, I don't think there's a lot of head coaching candidates that people are super excited about, you know, with the coordinators, you know, that are out there in the NFL. And, hey, you know, people with the Chip Kelly move from college to the pros, and with other coaches that in the past, you know, the other head, prominent college head coaches that's gone from college to the NFL, you know, that hasn't, you know, really worked out. So I don't know if there's going to be a ton of moves, just because there's not a lot of other options that are better that are out there, you know, this year. Now, that's why I think Detroit stays with Caldwell, just because there's not another hot guy that's going to be exciting to be able to bring in that will be better than some of the people that they already have in place there.
Yeah, you're right. There's been a lot of energy kind of towards the college level the last couple of years. I mean, I think there are a lot of the bigger names, you know, the Nick Sabans, the Jim Harbaughs, what have you, are under contract and seemingly happy where they are. Now, you start throwing money at people, you start, you know, presenting challenges to them that they might be able to overcome, and maybe things change. But to some degree, I would agree with you. I think there aren't the obvious head coaches in waiting that are out there that, you know, can be easy pickings. However, one team I think where there could be changes at the head coach and perhaps at the GM spot that we haven't mentioned yet could be New Orleans. Sean Payton's name seems to have risen in almost every job out there, and he's going to have a number of options, but he's got 2 years left on his contract with the Saints. So you know, will the front office be restructured? You know, we're seeing reports that Mickey Loomis could be out. I think it would make a lot of sense if he is moved into being solely the GM for the Pelicans. He's been kind of having a dual role over the last couple of years. I could see the assistant general manager there, Jeff Ireland, moving into the GM position. I think that'd make a lot of sense based on his first draft with the team. I thought last year's draft was very productive, and they made several good picks. Whereas the last 3 to 4 years after the first round, pretty much been a nightmare for the Saints. A number of errors there, and so I think another one of the interesting subplots of the next couple of weeks will be what happens to Sean Payton. Where does he go? Do the Saints try to move him? Do they try to get compensation for him? Do they try to, kind of move on from the era? The thing I think that's difficult for Sean Payton is he's going to have a lot of options, and he's still kind of seen as a, offensive genius. But if he turns in any more 6-10, 7-9, 4-12 kind of seasons, then the bloom comes off the rose, and maybe he's not quite as attractive anymore. So I think to some degree Peyton's got to measure, I guess, where he sees the Saints going and whether or not he can make them into another championship contender with a limited window that you have for Drew Brees. I'm not among the people who think that Drew Brees is finished and on his way down. I think that he's still one of the probably 5 best quarterbacks in the league, but no one can play like that forever. And I guess you have to ask yourself how many 4,000-yard seasons he has left. And, 2, maybe 3 tops would be excellent production from him. So that'll be another area to watch, another team to watch, where there could be some instability, and we'll have to see what happens after this weekend.
For sure. And as we kind of wrap up another show of Inside the Football Business, what are you hearing out there in regards to, player signings, anything, news in the agent business that's going on there, Neil?
Well, this week we had Kenny Clark from UCLA declare and, join the draft, and the interesting thing is the AC signed with is First Pick Sports. They are headed by Jerome Stanley, an agent who's kind of been on the sidelines the last few years, but I can see him making a big push and signing several Ohio State players. Part of that is his association with Keyshawn Johnson, who's kind of been behind the scenes but has really been able to open up a lot of doors for him and get a lot of good energy flowing there. One quarterback that I kind of like who's a little bit, he's certainly not on the Paxton Lynch, Jared Goff level, is Brandon Dowdy out of Western Kentucky. This week he signed with an agent, with Drew Rosenhaus, obviously a big name in the agent community. It'll be interesting to see if he can kind of move up and get a Senior Bowl berth, which I know is important for him. And if he can, that's something that may really help him move up and join that top-tier players. But other quarterbacks that have signed, include Jeff Driscoll, a guy who left Florida kind of under a cloud, but has kind of rejuvenated itself with at Louisiana Tech, and is kind of moving in the right direction. It could be an exciting player going forward, and a number of other signings that are out there that are interesting. That in players that are a little bit off the grid, like Harlan Miller, a cornerback out of Southeastern Louisiana, who will also be playing in the Senior Bowl. He signed with Impact Sports. He'll be an interesting guy to watch. Again, kind of as a player who maybe we don't know his name as much, but could rise up and really become an interesting player. So, this time of year, there's an awful lot of interesting things going on. If you're in the business, like you and I are, Justin, so that's it's kind of a fun time to watch. Get your popcorn and get comfortable, because there's a lot of things going on.
For sure. As we kind of roll here, the end of the NFL season, and here, by next week, we'll have probably a couple of more coaching, moves to talk about, maybe some GMs, again being released. And as we go kind of through the hiring process, and they want to get everything get done before the NFL Combine, obviously, here in the next, 6-7 weeks, there, and we'll have more guys that will sign and declare. And January 18th is the, deadline for underclassmen to declare for the 2016 draft. We've seen some kind of, names we didn't expect, declare already. A couple cornerbacks, so it's definitely, like you said, an interesting time. So we look forward to another great show there, and another week of, checking out what you've got going on there and inside the league and all the different signings and different news and notes that are going on there.
Yeah, it will be. It's a lot of fun. This is the best time of the year for me, and I know it is for you and pretty much everyone in the business. So we should have plenty more good stuff to talk about next week.
For sure. Well, Neil, you have another great week, and look forward to talking with you next week.
Sounds great, Justin. You do the same, and Happy New Year.